Welcome to Kingdom Faith London podcast. We pray that as you listen to the word of God, you will be built up, encouraged, inspired, that it will speak right into your situation as you listen.
Talking about communicating at the moment, just with myself and with God, is the two things really. One is just to do with the word that seems to be quite prevalent today is fake news. And it seems to be out there in many, many different contexts. I've told Tom I can't get political, so I won't. But one of the things, it seems to be in everything, in every facet of life, this fake news. And we, in a sense, have to understand that actually we have the person called Jesus Christ, who is the true person, the truth. And because he is the truth, he is the way, the truth, and the life, that aspect of truth needs to become so much more real so that actually when anything comes against us that is fake, false, not truth, the lie of the enemy, then we need to recognize it for the fake news that it is. We have to understand that the enemy will come and try and kill, steal, and destroy. That's what it says in the Bible. That we have an enemy. Sometimes it's what I want. And then the enemy uses what I want and tries to make it bigger. But you see, when we understand the truth about God's forgiveness, then actually when we ask God to forgive us, the truth is that he will forgive us. So we don't have to live in any guilt or shame. That's the truth. The fake news that the enemy wants to bring into our lives is that that's not right. That, you know, oh no, you have to pay penance for that sin. Oh no, it's never going to go away. Your guilt, your shame is never going to go away. That's a lie. That's not true. That's fake news that the enemy is trying to put out to Christians around the world that the word of God is not sufficient. There's a lot of things that, there's lots of scriptures that I could go to. But just some simple things. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, the truth is, it says, I will not worry about any aspect of my life. How many of us worry about different things? Now, actually, if we believe what God says and we take what God says and apply it to every area of our lives, then we will apply that truth. Okay, I don't need to worry. I don't need to worry about that situation. I don't need to worry about my finances. I don't have to worry about that relationship because God, you're going to take care of that. Now, the other side of this fake news that God has been really working in me is this word awe. Awe. A-W-E. Very small. But I believe it's actually very significant for each and every one of us. To go along with truth and fake news, remember that. There is a thing called awe of God that I believe that God wants us to carry in every area of our lives. Because if we understand the awe of God, we understand and keep our focus upon him and who he is in every area of our life, then we will come to a place where we will be asking God, okay, what is the truth about this situation? And therefore, it's not listening to what my experiences may be. Or what I want in that situation. We can look through the whole gospel, or the whole Bible actually. We'll start in Genesis. Adam and Eve held God in awe, respect, honor. Those words. He was walking around, they were walking around the garden having an amazing relationship with God. It says that they went on in the cool of the night, they had their encounter, they had the time with God. And then the enemy came with something that was fake. He came and enticed them. And they lost sight of the awe of God for a moment of time. They took a bite out of the fruit. And then they got taken out of the place where God was. And they were taken out of that Garden of Eden and placed outside of that garden because they lost sight of the awe of God at that moment in time. We can go through the Bible, Joseph, Moses, David. And that's why we're going to read Psalm 145 in a minute. David was an incredible man. He was known as a man after God's own heart, a man of worship. He had a time where his focus on God was immense and incredible. But then he got diverted. His attention was drawn away from the glory of God. And he got into a situation where he was enticed by a woman. He committed adultery with that woman. He then, because she got pregnant, that he had to try and deceive Uriah, Bathsheba's wife. All of this was that he lost the awe of God at that moment in time. He lost the honor and the respect of God. He took his eyes from him and God's purposes and brought it into a natural realm. And you see, if we begin and constantly understand that if we're coming and bringing down God's level to our level, then we begin to lose sight of God in our everyday life. And that's why I believe that sometimes we find difficulties in different areas of our lives because we lose focus on God. We lost the respect and awe of God in our lives, in our everyday life. I believe God's here with us. Whether we're, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 of us, I believe that the Holy Spirit lives in me. That's what I believe the Word of God says. And because the Holy Spirit lives in me, then I believe that God is in this room today by His Spirit. Now, if we take that in every environment we go into, we need to ensure that in everything that we do and everything that we say, it's for the glory of God. Now listen to this in Romans chapter 6, verse 17. And it says, I thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, this is no longer the case. So we're not slaves because we've asked Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives. We're no longer the slaves to sin. For you have obeyed wholeheartedly the teachings of God. So we're not listening to the fake news, the fake lies that the enemy wants to put out for us to be deceived, to be drawn away from the reality of what God has said in His Word. For you have obeyed wholeheartedly the teachings of God's truth that were revealed to you. And listen to this, and you are to be guardians of that truth. This is from the Truth New Testament. I'll read that again. I thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, this is no longer the case. For you have obeyed wholeheartedly the teachings of God's truth that was revealed to you, and you are to be guardians of that truth. In the book of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, it talks about our lifestyles being examples of the kingdom lifestyle, the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus Christ wants us to live here on earth, representing His kingdom. Not the kingdom of this world, but representing His kingdom. That's why we have to be people who, in a sense, have our foundations very, very firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we've been encouraging you to get into the Word of God. Why? Because we want you to understand the truth for yourselves. So that when the lies come against you individually, or you're not good enough, you're not worth it, or you're never going to achieve that, those are lies. That's false accusations, false news, if we want to put it in those terms. Because that's not what God says about you. And I don't know about you. I want to know what God says about me, not what man says about me. Why? Because I want to remain in that place where I have that honor of God in my life. I have that awe, that respect. David lost sight of that. And that may have only been for a short space of time, and then he got back into that place of worship and honor. And we read in Psalm 145 this amazing, amazing scripture. It says, "I will exalt you, my God, O King." And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever with grateful, affectionate praise." Now that's a man who has an awe of God. A man who has his focus purely on the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father. Then it says, "Every day with its new reasons will I bless you, affectionately and gratefully praise you. Yes, I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is so vast and deep as to be unsearchable." This is the God that he wants us to focus upon him. This is a man, David, is writing this thing. But you can see how he's captured. He's got this image of God in his mind. He's been captured by an awesome God. And I think sometimes as Christians, we can lose sight of how amazing God is. And therefore, we bring God because we have lost sight of amazing, how amazing he is. We bring him down to a level that we can work with ourselves. And therefore, we then wonder why we're struggling to work through a particular situation or an issue. Well, we've got to understand, oh, God is amazing. And this is what this psalm is saying. "One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." One generation, that's you and me, shall laud your works to another generation and shall declare your mighty acts. That's part of our responsibility. That's a responsibility that we have, just like we've read in Romans chapter 12, that we are to be guardians of the truth. We also have got to be people who are passing on this awe, respect, honor to the generations of people that are going to come and follow us, those people who are not yet believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, people who are in our areas of influence. We're to have our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ with all respect, honor, keeping him right at the forefront of absolutely everything we do, so that we're captured by him, captivated by him. And therefore, we don't get complacent. Apathy is the enemy of awe. Elijah is another character in the Bible. And what happened to Elijah, he had an amazing victory over 400 enemies, which are Baal. They were worshippers of idols. And they were priests of Baal at that time. Elijah came and he called, because he was bold. And he heard something from God. He kept his eyes on God. And so therefore he said, "Oh, pour water on the altar. How can fire and water, they don't mix?" But God came and burnt up the sacrifice. He ran, he gave a message, but then he heard Jezebel was on the warpath. And what happened to Elijah? He ran for his life. He'd just seen an amazing victory. He kept his eyes on God and he saw 400 people defeated. And then the woman stood up and spoke and said, I'm going to have your head. And he ran for his life. And then he was found out in a wilderness somewhere hiding. He'd lost sight of his awesome God who had just defeated 400 of the enemy. And he'd listened to the lies of a person. It can be a male or female. And please, I'm not having a go at women. Honest. But he listened to the woman's voice, which was a lie. It wasn't the truth. But he'd listened to it and he ran because he'd, at that moment, lost sight of God in that particular situation. Samson. And please, I'm not having to go with women. But Delilah enticed him. Probably with her good looks and her body. But you know, these things happen. But when he started and got focused again, he brought a great victory in a particular situation. You know, you bring him into the New Testament. You have these three guys who saw the transfiguration of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they saw Jesus glorified in his glorious body. And they then sort of got on from this mountain, and from focusing on God and seeing this amazing thing that had taken place, they then went and ran away at that moment. Why? Because they looked at the natural rather than the supernatural God that we worship. Going back into the Old Testament, you've got the children of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, it says that there was a cloud, a pillar of cloud to show them the way during the day. I think that would have been an amazing sight. And a pillar of fire at night. That must have been amazing to see. You know, putting your imagination together. That must have been amazing. Just to see this cloud that, okay, we've got to follow that. Or that pillar of fire. Well, we've got to follow that. That must have been an amazing sight. And then Moses goes up the mountain and the cloud envelops him. Now, we know that that can be a natural phenomenon too, but, you know, it talks about when the tent of meeting, they put a tent just a little bit outside the camp, and sometimes when Moses and Joshua were in the tent, the cloud came over. And so, you know, you have to listen to these things. So, yes, I know I've seen mountains and the clouds come over. I love Switzerland, love my skiing. And, you know, the clouds often envelop the top of the mountains. But the children of Israel, they'd seen all of these amazing things. But then they got their focus on the natural. And therefore they wanted to then bring in idols. And they made idols and they started to worship idols. And in those worship of idols, it was just like when Moses came down. Oh, there's God. And they lose sight of God. They listen to a lie. Sort of saying, oh, we need an image or to worship. But there's God Almighty. Yes, something that is not physically sometimes seen, even though sometimes people see an image of God. And we praise God for the people in all around the world at this moment who are having dreams and visions. I'm waking up with a picture of a person in white or an image of Jesus that they're saying, okay, I just need to find out a little bit more about this. And I praise God for everybody who's getting that, and I believe we need it in this country too, because we need to get our eyes off world and the worldly situations, because boy, you know, if we start to focus on the world and the environments that we live in, we will get depressed. We will begin to look down and we will begin to get apathetic and saying, God, you can't do that. I believe God's putting foundations in us to actually believe what God says. That some of the truths that God speaks to us that actually we're going to be a significant church. I believe that with all of my heart. That God is going to cause us, this place, us, you and me, and those people God brings to us. I believe that God is going to do something that you need, but with a passion and an awe of God, but also a deep love for one another, with a passion for one another, where we are living the book of Acts, where it talks about nobody had need. Now, that doesn't mean that suddenly every one of us is millionaires, but we genuinely are loving and caring for one another. And if it is something that I can help with, then actually we're in this together. I believe God's doing something significant, but we've got to understand that we are not living with the fake. We're not living with something that's not real and a lie, but we're wanting to live in the reality of truth that is in the Word of God. So we don't want to compromise the Word of God. But to help us not compromise the Word of God, we've got to hold God with awe, respect, honor. Because if we don't, then we can get apathetic in our approaching God. We can be apathetic in our prayer and the way that we do pray. You know, there's people that Lolly's not very well, and at this moment she was in hospital over the last couple of days. She's out, thank God, now. But there's other people within Kingdom Faith London that have had long-term sicknesses. Now, I believe that the God, my God, is able to heal each and every one of these long-term sicknesses. Now, the lie sort of says, oh, no, he won't. Well, it just happens that those are things that are never going to be cured. They're going to have to live with them for the rest of their lives. That's not what my Bible teaches me. I want the reality of the Word. Now, I'm not saying that suddenly every single person in this room is going to be completely healed totally today. And I'm not saying that there aren't going to be times where we're going to have to journey within situations and circumstances and with the doctors and with nurses, and we have doctors and nurses who are part of the church, that we work together with them and see something amazingly taking place for the glory of God. Why? Because I believe that God wants to be involved in every single aspect of our lives. Every single aspect of our lives. So wherever we go, wherever God sends us, we have this understanding that we are carrying the Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit, the awesome God that lives within us. And because he lives within us, then it's like, okay, God, I don't want to lose sight of you in this situation. In my college, Lord, I don't want to lose sight of you first and foremost. Okay, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to be? School teachers, artists, you know, in offices, musicians, looking after children, architects, social workers, nurses. All of these things, God's gifted you and graced you. But I believe that there's times when we just lose sight of what Psalm 145 says. Verse 5, it says, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the might of your tremendous and terrible acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth like a fountain the fame of your great and abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your rightness and justice. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in mercy and loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. the entirety of things created. All your work shall praise you, O Lord, and your loving ones shall bless you affectionately, and gratefully shall your saints confess and praise you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. You get the picture. God's amazing. To make known to the sons of men God's mighty deeds and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all those of his own who are falling, and raises up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all who wait for you, looking, watching, and expecting. And you give them the food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy every living thing with favor. The Lord is rigidly righteous in all his ways, and gracious and merciful in all his works. The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to all who call upon him sincerely and in truth. Not false, but truth. He who fulfills the desires of those who reverently and worshipfully fear him, he also will hear their cry and will save them from whatever situation or circumstances that each and every one of us faces. The Lord preserves all those who love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Because there is a truth about those things too, that the church needs not to be silent on. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And not just big sins, but little sins. The lie is a sin. It's something that separates us from God. God doesn't put, that's a one sin, that's a oneer, that's a tenner. God doesn't do it like that. Something that God does not like or displeases God, that separates us from God. Now praise God, he's given us an answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ. But we are not doing our job, and that's not just me, this is us. That when God allows us or puts us into a situation where somebody trusts us and we can open up a conversation and we can get in there, sin is sin and we just need a saviour. And I believe that saviour is Jesus Christ. And I believe that the truth in the New Testament and in the Old Testament points everything to Jesus Christ being my Messiah, my Lord, my Saviour, my King. But he has to forgive me of my sin. And something that we need to constantly say in my mouth, the Lord will preserve all those who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. There is going to be a time where judgment will come. Now, I don't believe judgment is now. Judgment, I believe, will come. And we're all going to have to answer to God for our actions, sometimes our inactions, the words that we've spoken. But I praise God that if I have done something that is not pleased the Lord in my few years of life, I know that I have been forgiven if I confess my sin to him. And I know that when it comes to my time to get promoted to heaven, then I know that those things that I've confessed will be wiped clear. Why? Because that's what the truth says. If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us my sin. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, how important it is that we take seriously what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from the truth. It's a great, amazing scripture. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Again, with this fake news and keeping God in that place of respect and awe. says how important it is that we take seriously what we have heard so that we do not drift away from the truth. And then in Hebrews 6, verse 18, it says, he chose to do this for our sakes, so that we would know for certain that God would never lie and that his promises are utterly dependable. It is simply not possible for God to lie because he is the truth. That's why we have to understand this fake business. That the enemy is here and trying to come and distract us from living out the truth and the reality of God in each and every one of our lives. I know in my life, and probably many, many times, where I've lost sight of God. And I've allowed the circumstance of my life to get bigger than he is. I've listened to sometimes the lies. And, you know, several years ago, we got into a real, Helen and I got real into a real financial difficulty. Why? Because we listened to a lie. We got into a situation where we were spending money on credit cards that we didn't have enough money to pay back. Why? Because we thought, oh, you know, it's happened before and God's provided us before. We've lived by faith for many years. And oh, of course, God's going to bless us. But that was presumption. We'd lost the awe and respect of God in that moment of time, and we got into our natural thinking. We got into presumption and apathy. Instead of saying, God, how do you want to do it this time? How do you want us to spend this finance? Or how do you want us to do X, Y, and Z? We sort of went to the side and said, okay, God, you did it before like this, so you're going to do again, so we'll put the money on the card and somehow the money will come in. That's presumption, that's apathy, because we've taken our focus off God and brought it to him. Now, when we said, God, we've blown it, and I think God loves honesty, actually. And when I said, God, I've blown it, and along with my wife, Helena, and we get into a situation saying, God, we've blown it. We went to speak to our leaders and humble ourselves before them. Just sort of say, we've blown it, and this is the situation. Can you stand with us? And we put right what we could, and sometimes that was meant cutting up some credit cards. And that's what we did. And we got to put into a place something that we believe God was asking, because we got our focus on him. We started to work on the truth again. Okay, God, what are you saying? How do you want us to respond? How do you want us to use this finance? And that didn't mean that suddenly within the next week that we suddenly had thousands upon thousands of pounds. But in the next 6-8 months, we put what we could right. And then when we got to put everything that we did right, our focus still on God, he then came up and gave us 2 checks that cleared my debt completely of that credit card debt. He wiped it clear in 2 checks. And not only did that, a few months later, he actually cleared my mortgage with a £75,000 check. Now, please, God can do it things, and it wasn't the lottery, by the way. But, you know, all I'm saying is God's real. Yeah, right. And God is wanting to do things in reality, not just words. Yeah, I think out there's too many people with, and please, I probably had too many words in the past as well. I want the reality of these things. But I want the reality of truth. I want the reality of Psalm 145 in my life, where God takes all the awe, the respect, the honor. And because he is my focus, then every time I go into a situation, it's just like, okay, God, how do you want to respond in this situation? How do you want me to act? How do you want me to speak? Why? Because I want to make sure that there's truth in my life, So I don't want to get into situations where I'm just, oh, God's going to give you £1 million. Or, you know, oh, yeah, God's going to make you change from supporting Man United to Tranmere Rovers. It's false. It's false to think that we can belittle something of the truth and the reality of God. But this is real. I want the reality of God in our lives so that we're not just gathering on a Sunday and we say goodbye, but we're in and involved with one another in the way that God wants us to. I went to see Belle's dad because it was something I believe God put on my heart to do. And actually, I was more blessed than probably he was. Because he was just so encouraging in so many different ways. Him and it was an incredible thing. I thought I was going to go and help him, but he actually helped me more. But, you know, it's doing things because actually I want to be involved. Why? Because I believe that that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, to love God and to love one another. It's not separate. Lolly, she's part of us as a church, and she's been in hospital. And it's just for me, God, I want to be part and see you answer. Now, for me, it's not about rushing to hospital and going to pray and things like that, unless God leads me to do that. I want to go because God's told me to go and he's told me what to do when I go. Because I want to do it according to his plan, his purpose for my life. Nathan spoke a couple of weeks ago and he brought in Ephesians chapter 6. You stand firm with his truth like a belt. You keep around your waist for support. Sometimes if you don't have a belt on, your trousers fall down and you trip up. I don't want to be tripped up by the lies of the enemy. I want the truth of who Jesus is to be in every area of my relationships with my wife, my two amazing daughters, with you, my family, my friends. I want the reality of those things. But I know that unless I have that perspective, like we read in Psalm 145, that honor of God at the forefront of everything that I say and do, then I probably will get into presumption, get into complacency. I can do this. Actually, I can't. And I don't mind saying right in front of each one of you that I can't do this. I'm not able to lead you. But the power of God that lives in me, he's the one that can lead you. And so your prayers need to be, keep Jonathan focused on you. Keep Helena focused on you. Don't let him be diverted from the awe and honor of your name. Why? Because if you, me, all of us keep God at the forefront of everything we do, then we are on a great adventure. Because we are saying, God, what next? What are you going to do here? Remembering keeping hold of the truth as well, that we're not departing from the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's all together. God, what do you want to do now? Truth will be the word. And that's why we need to be people of the word. Could we please stand? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says this: "Remember the anointing you have already received from him continues to live in you." That's the Holy Spirit. So you do not need anyone to teach you where the truth lies. For the anointing of the Spirit of truth teaches you about all these things. The anointing of truth is real. It is not like the counterfeit work of the enemy, the false stuff. So just as the Spirit of truth has already taught you, continue to live in him who is the truth, Christ Jesus our Lord. Each one of you has a different situation. You're in different jobs. You live in different areas. Each and every one of us has a different challenge. And I just want you just to think for a moment of some of those things that you're personally facing. I know that like me, or possibly like me, you may be trying to resolve some of these issues in your own strength. And you know that God has helped you in the past, but currently it's not that. Okay, God, I want to keep you in that place of awe, honor. Just like we've read in Psalm 145, David just got totally awestruck with his God. And in his words, in his language, it was real praise to his God. And I just believe God's wanting to challenge each one of us. That as and when we pray, and prayer has been very key for us as a church of late, are we holding God in the same way that we've just read in Psalm 145 with that awe? And if we know that it's like, Lord, it may be that you're doing it to 60% or 70%, even 90%. God wants 100%. So this is an opportunity I believe God wants to give us, and saying, God, I realize that there's been mixture in this situation or that circumstance. That, yeah, I heard something from you, but then I've gone and I've tried to apply it in my own strength, and it's not working. Or it's not happening in the way that I expected it to. It's not fruitful in the way I wanted it to be. Father, I just ask you in my own life that there will be a deep honor and respect for you. Like David, that my eyes will be once again open to how amazing you are. How awesome you are. And how great and how big you are. And Lord, I thank you that as I keep you in this light, Father, I thank you that every situation and circumstance, that my life, my journey takes me into, Lord, I thank you that you will show me what that truth looks like in that situation. And Father, as that truth and the reality of who you are come together, I thank you that you will teach me, you will show me, you will guide me, you will give me the words to say. You'll give the actions that I need to do along with my words. Thank you. so that I, in this generation, shall laud your works to another, and I shall declare your mighty acts of how great and how magnificent you are, so that those who are going to follow after us will be praising the God of heaven, the Lord of all, the Savior of our lives. Lord, help me, teach me, show me that it's all about you. You can pray along with these things. In Kingdom Faith, we read and we talk about Galatians 2:20 so often. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Now that's truth. And as we've read in Hebrews, God cannot lie. So if the truth is I've been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, then Lord, I just want that truth to be worked in my life, so that I understand that it's only what you do in me that's going to matter. So this church is your church, Lord. Each one of us, Lord, I just lift them up before you. I ask you that you'll prosper them in body, soul, and spirit. And Father, for each and every person, I ask you that they will hold you with that honor, respect, awe. And because truth then becomes so important, that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, let that be real in each one of us. So we're living this life on earth in the way that you want, with your love, with your mercy, your grace, your kindness, your gentleness, your power, your strength. Lord, we don't want to be people who listen to fake news of anything concerning your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, I just pray that for myself and for each and every one of us, that the reality and truth of who you are will be at work in our lives every single day. And Father, I pray that every one of us will be so aware in our university, in our offices, Father, out on the fields, that we will be aware of you every moment of the day, because we are carriers of your Holy Spirit. And just like it says in Romans, that we will be the guardians of that truth, the truth of who you are, and that it's your Spirit at work in our lives. These truths, I ask, will become so real to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that the word today has really encouraged you, built you up, inspired you, spoken right into your situation. If you've got questions to anything that you've heard, or you'd like someone to talk to or to pray with you, then do contact us on our website, www.kingdomfaithlondon.com.